It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Biden in Brussels.
Maybe the most important foreign trip of his life.
That is our top story at noon. The president meeting today with NATO allies in Belgium to announce new sanctions on Russia for the war in Ukraine. Those sanctions will be announced during a NATO press conference later today. The administration also says the U.S. will take in up to 100,000 Ukrainian refugees. Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, says this war has destroyed the soul of freedom-loving people across the world.
It breaks my heart, hearts of all Ukrainians, and every free person on the planet.
Zelensky says Russia is trying to wipe Ukraine off the face of the earth.
This is only the beginning for Russia.
The U.S. has formally accused Russia of war crimes, NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg calling on member nations to beef up troops on the eastern flank. Stoltenberg says Russia's invasion of Ukraine will have long-term consequences.
It's a new normal for our security, and NATO has to respond to that new reality.
Then there's the threat of a chemical or nuclear war from Russia. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says NATO has to be crystal clear with the Kremlin when it comes to the consequences of such a move.
If you use chemical weapons, we will establish a no-fly zone. If you explode a nuclear device inside of Ukraine, we'll consider that attack on NATO itself. And we need to tell China, if you help Putin, you do so at your own peril.
Texas Congressman Mike McCall says unconventional weapons like chemical or biological ones will put the entire planet in jeopardy. He calls that a red line.
We certainly don't want to see this escalate where Mr. Putin decides to use chemical weapons. That would be a nightmare scenario.
Today marks 1 month since the war began, and Ukrainians are pushing back against Russian forces around the capital city of Kyiv. Ukraine's Navy also says it destroyed a Russian warship in the Black Sea. President Zelensky says Vladimir Putin is trying to destroy democracy. But he will fail.
Russia is trying to defeat the freedom of all people in Europe, of all the people in the world. It tries to show that only crude and cruel force matters.
Speaking of crude and cruel, 100,000 Ukrainians remain trapped in Mariupol. Most of that port city has been destroyed by Russian forces. The city of Kharkiv in the northeast also suffering intense shelling and missile bombardment. The UN says 977 Ukrainian civilians have been killed in the war so far. NATO says many more Russians have died.
NATO now estimates that Russian losses may be as high as 15,000 troops killed in the 1 month of this war so far. To put that in perspective, they lost 15,000 troops in total in 10 years in Afghanistan. According to that NATO estimate, they may have lost the same in just 1 month in Ukraine.
That is Jonathan Hunt reporting. Tomorrow, President Biden heads to Poland, where the UN says millions of Ukrainians have fled since the fighting began. Officials say 3.6 million Ukrainians have left the country. 10 million have left their homes. The final day of confirmation hearings for Supreme Court pick Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is expected to replace Stephen Breyer on the High Court, and Claire Williams with the American Bar Association giving Jackson high praise.
The Standing Committee voted unanimously that Judge Jackson earned our highest rating, well qualified for an appointment to the Supreme Court.
But Jackson raised some eyebrows earlier this week among Republicans when she said she couldn't define what a woman was. Here's political pundit Jimmy Failla.
Think about how far we've come and how quickly we've come there. This same Democratic Party during the Kavanaugh hearings told us we have to believe all women. Now they're telling us two hearings later they don't know what a woman is. This is absurd.
Failla says Judge Jackson is simply playing to the far left of the Democratic Party. The judge is expected to become a justice. If confirmed, Ketanji Brown Jackson would become the first African-American woman to ever sit on the high court. The cleanup continues in several southern states hard hit by severe weather this week. Correspondent Deborah Rodriguez.
Fallen trees being cleared away in Jacksboro, Texas, after a tornado sliced through and tore apart dozens of homes in the suburbs of New Orleans.
We have people's roofs on other people's houses right now. And it's just crazy.
National Weather Service says a tornado in Araby was at least an EF3 with 136 mile an hour winds.
That is Deborah Rodriguez reporting. President Biden calling for U.S. flags to fly at half staff after the passing of former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, U.N. Ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield.
She was a trailblazer and a luminary, and she was the first woman to serve as Secretary of State. She left an indelible mark on the world and on the United Nations.
Madeleine Albright served as Secretary of State under former President Clinton. She was 84. New York City lifting the COVID-19 vaccine mandate for performers and professional athletes. Mayor Eric Adams doing that today. Correspondent Steve Kaffin.
This helps Kyrie Irving of the NBA's Brooklyn Nets, who has only played in road games this season.
He gets to be with his teammates, play the game that he loves, actually be on the court.
And it clears the way for all members of the Yankees and Mets to play in New York when the baseball season opens.
That's Steve Kaffin reporting. How sweet it is. The NCAA men's basketball tournament bounces back into action tonight. It is the Sweet 16. Games to watch. Duke and Texas Tech, that'll be a good one. So too will Gonzaga and Arkansas. Still to come this Thursday, a controversial speaker has been moved online at SUNY Brockport. More cops needed in Harrisburg and a bus fire this morning in Dunkirk.
Well, good afternoon. Mild conditions underway across the area this afternoon, but colder days are ahead. Forecast details are coming up. We'll see you in 10.
All right, Kevin Williams, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Thursday, March 24th. Close call in Dunkirk. School officials in that Chautauqua County, New York district say a bus driver was able to get all of the students off a bus that caught fire this morning. Officials say the driver smelled smoke while transporting kids to school and was able to pull the bus into a parking lot, safely get all of those kids off the bus, five students on the bus at the time. Four people shot last night at a home in Williamson, New York, in Wayne County. Three of the victims in critical condition this afternoon.
The neighbors heard gunshots, what sounded like gunshots. They didn't know if it was loud bangs, but they said it could have been gunshots. So there was a disturbance at the time people entered the residence. Neighbors got concerned and called 911.
State Police Captain Sam Spezio says they're in the early stages of this investigation.
We just had a report of a disturbance. So right now we're unable to determine what the motive was, what the situation was exactly.
All of the victims taken to Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester. That shooting took place just down the road from the high school in Williamson. After public outrage, SUNY Brockport moving a controversial speaking event online next month.
Brockport still plans to have a convicted killer speak at the school, but the talk will be virtual, not in person. Cop killer and former Black Panther Jahlil Muntakim was due to speak April 6th, but because of public outrage, it'll happen online instead. Muntakim spent 50 years in prison after being convicted of killing two New York City police officers. The invite drew condemnation, both for his appearance and the fact that he was billed as a political prisoner. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bobby. More cops are needed in Harrisburg. The police department there says they're trying to fill 20 openings right now. Harrisburg has lost a number of officers to retirement. New York Governor Kathy Hochul pushing to get more women to join the state police. She's pledged to have 30% of the state police force made up of women by the year 2030.
We're going to do intentional recruiting. Go out there and talk about the culture of the state police and let you be the models for the rest of the state.
The governor spoke yesterday to the graduates at the State Police Academy in Albany. A planned natural gas plant in Pennsylvania's northern tier is on hold after a legal challenge We get the latest from Family Life's Mark Webster.
The Marcellus Shale LNG plant in the small Bradford County community of Wyalusing is in doubt now after its developer, New Fortress Energy Incorporated, agreed to at least temporarily halt plans for the plant to settle a legal challenge by environmental activists who wanted the company's air emission permit revoked. The $800 million plant would have liquefied millions of gallons of natural gas from the Marcellus Shale field daily, with the gas expected to be exported from a terminal in New Jersey. But now it's unclear whether the proposed Wyalusing plant will ever be built. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
Thank you, Mark. The Republican candidates for governor of Pennsylvania will square off tonight at Karen University near Philly. That event is being sponsored by the Pennsylvania Family Institute and will focus on issues like faith and family.
I'm running for governor because we are in a battle for the heart and soul of this nation. And those battle lines run right through Pennsylvania this year.
My plan is to put people first.
We need to get the government off of people's back.
I would change our education system.
Tonight's big debate starts at 7, Karen University in Langhorne, PA. A local faith leader says Vladimir Putin is using religion to justify the war in Ukraine.
Anytime that you're doing something where you're invading a neighboring country who has done nothing to you, you're violating God's word.
Susan Betts Jittimer with the Shiloh Community Church in Corning, New York, says Putin is a master of propaganda. Even so, she says Christians should still pray for the Russian ruler.
Absolutely. I mean, we prayed for Vladimir Putin in church last Sunday, and we pray that someone touches his heart and he really gets saved to Christ.
The Reverend Franklin Graham recently came under fire for suggesting that Christians pray for Putin. Insect invasion. Family Life's Brandon Dixon fills us in on an unpleasant surprise this spring.
Experts say this spring looks to be especially buggy, according to the biannual Bug Barometer report from the National Pest Management Association. Following a relatively warm winter and with rainy conditions, entomologists are expecting a pesky pest season with mosquitoes, termites, and ticks in the Northeast. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thanks for the heads up. A Pennsylvania state lawmaker says it's time to consider a four-day, 32-hour work week. Sounds good to me. Philadelphia Democrat Chris Rabb.
There have been studies that have shown that it increases productivity, but it also increases our wellness, how happy we are, our ability to enjoy life instead of, like, no one's on their deathbed and said, I wish I went to the office more. That's never happened.
Rabb says COVID has changed the way we work and companies should allow more flexibility when it comes to the standard work week.
The pandemic has forced a new way of life, a new way of work.
In the early 20th century, Americans worked 6 days a week and usually 10 hours a day. Henry Ford, though, changed all of that nearly 100 years ago by mandating that 5-day, 40-hour work week on his assembly line at the Ford Motor Company. This guy never stops working. Randy, your sports report. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. The New York Knicks had 7 players in double figures in Charlotte last night as they beat the Hornets 121-106. R.J. Barrett led the way. He had 30. The Knicks snapped Charlotte's 5-game winning streak. The 1-2 punch of Embiid and Harden led the 76ers over the Lakers 126-121. Joel Embiid had 30 points and 10 rebounds. James Harden had 24 points and dished out 7 assists. The Nets dropped a 132-120 decision to the Grizzlies in Memphis. Even though Kyrie Irving scored 43 points and Kevin Durant had 35, it wasn't enough. The loss snaps Brooklyn's modest 2-game winning streak. Other winners on the hardwood: Detroit, Sacramento, Boston, Golden State, Phoenix, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and San Antonio. On the ice, it was Tage Thompson's night in Buffalo. Thompson had 2 goals and also scored in the shootout to help the Sabres beat the Penguins. Alec Tuck had the game winner as Buffalo won their 3rd straight. Sidney Crosby, a goal and an assist for the Pens in the loss. Elsewhere on the ice, the Maple Leafs beat the Devils 3-2. The Canucks 3-1 winners over Colorado. And Chicago doubled up Anaheim 4-2. A big trade went down in the NFL as the Kansas City Chiefs sent star wide receiver Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins for 5 draft picks. And good news for New York City athletes, the mandate that has restricted the players who have not been vaccinated from playing in the Big Apple has been lifted. That is a look at sports.
And that is good news indeed. Thank you, Randy. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, Biden in Brussels, hearings in Washington, and Putin's $700 million mega yacht.
Some of the biggest innovations in computer technology are being inspired by the human brain. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. In a recent interview, Mark Zuckerberg was asked to fill out a CAPTCHA test to prove once and for all that he's not a robot. In case you were wondering, he passed. That's all a bit funny, given, as John Mulaney observed a couple years ago, just how much time we spend these days proving to robots that we're not robots. Only human brains, apparently, can recognize every square that has a stop sign or a boat. And it's all also a bit ironic, given that the most exciting trend in computing technology these days is building computers using design principles based on the human brain. Today's most successful artificial intelligence algorithms are loosely based on the intricate webs of real neural networks, writes Allison Witten in Quantum magazine. She's referring to something called deep learning, advanced artificial intelligence that can compute huge amounts of data while correcting mistakes and anticipating future problems. From mapping traffic patterns to predicting storm fronts to understanding the stock market, the possibilities of deep learning are endless. For years, though, there's been a major holdup. How do you keep it running? Deep learning requires so-called simulated neural networks, multiple layers of computers all crunching out the same problem. And unlike our highly efficient brains, Witten explains, running these algorithms on computers guzzles shocking amounts of energy. The biggest models consume nearly as much power as 5 cars over their lifetimes. And now, after years of puzzling out how to make a system capable of running advanced AI, researchers have found a breakthrough source of inspiration, the human brain. Now, the secret lies in how the brain processes electronic data. Whereas digital communication is binary, using ones and zeros, the brain's communication is analog, using one continuous data stream. Likewise, while digital tech relies on one central processing unit, the brain arranges millions of computing units next to memory units in the forms of synapses and neurons. Now, all the science is definitely chewy for us non-engineering types, but the results are incredible. Digital technology has transformed the modern world, opening vistas that previous generations could have never imagined. And yet, to fully master artificial intelligence, our brightest scientists are being forced to direct their attention back to God's original design specs. There's just no escaping this basic truth that natural systems are nothing short of stunning. People didn't design themselves, and yet we possess self-repairing, massively complex biological systems. We experience life through 5 senses, our brain seamlessly integrating terabytes of data at all times. And to do it, we require only assorted organic materials that we find around us. The brain can sustain itself on a cheeseburger. How can this complexity in the natural world and the human person be explained? Darwinian naturalists are forced to punt to random genetic mutations, in the words of Bertrand Russell, accidental collocations of atoms, and a limitless supply of time and chance. But that doesn't allow them to escape the haunting question, how did the universe itself come into existence? How do the laws of physics perfectly align for our survival here? How can we account for the incredible amount of complex and specified information in biological systems, especially the human brain? And how can we explain the origin of the very first life from non-life? Look, Christians don't have to agree on every scientific detail to point to what is obvious. There's a designer behind all of this design. In other words, as Casey Luskin of Evolution News summarizes, where in our experience do language-based digital code, computer-like programming machines, and other high information structures come from? They have only one known source, intelligence. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Let's head outside. The weekend is almost here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Weather system that produced the downpours and thunder last night is pushing east of the area now. and somewhat drier weather has moved in. However, colder air is working in and some moisture will return. The result, not particularly pleasant weather expected for this first full weekend of spring. Here is the call for this afternoon, though. Clouds, breaks of sunshine, a couple of scattered showers, but a lot of dry time. Mild, high temps mid-50s to the mid-60s. Cloudy and turning chillier tonight through tomorrow with a bit of light rain and drizzle at times. There'll still be some breaks of sun, though, in Pennsylvania eastern sections. Temperatures overnight drop toward 40. We're in the 40s and low 50s for tomorrow. On Saturday, mainly cloudy. A couple of showers and flurries. High temps, mainly 40s. Blustery cold on Sunday with flurries and some local lake snow expected Sunday into Sunday night.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Thursday, March 24th. President Biden huddled today with fellow leaders of the Western world for a NATO emergency meeting in Brussels. Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg.
We are united in condemning the Kremlin's unprovoked aggression and in our support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity.
President Biden will announce new sanctions against Russia today for the war in Ukraine, which has gone on now for exactly 1 month. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
Russia started the war against freedom as it is. The acts of terror against peaceful people go on. 1 month already. That long. It breaks my heart, hearts of all Ukrainians and every free person on the planet.
The fighting continues in Ukraine, where Russian troops have suffered a setback in the capital city of Kyiv. Former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman.
He's gone toe-to-toe with Vladimir Putin, Zelensky has, and he's kind of winning right now. And that's got to be humiliating for Vladimir Putin. The concern is Putin, he's escalating. I don't see an off-ramp for him. I see an off-ramp for his military if they decide to stop fighting. But Putin is still in this thing to win it. And that's got to be the concern. No higher requirement for our intelligence community right now than to track Vladimir Putin's plans and intentions, including to use weapons of mass destruction. And
Dan Hoffman says the worse this war goes for Vladimir Putin, the more dangerous he becomes.
His special military operation, as he likes to call it, and he says it's going according to plan. I don't know whose plan he's talking about, but right now it's working for Ukraine.
Today, Ukraine's Navy says it destroyed a Russian warship in the Black Sea. The UN, meantime, says 3.6 million Ukrainians have fled the country since the fighting began a month ago. The White House says the U.S. will take in up to 100,000 of those refugees. The president will be in Poland tomorrow, which has taken in the lion's share of those Ukrainian refugees. Today, the Senate Judiciary Committee wrapping up 4 days of confirmation hearings for President Biden's Supreme Court pick. Ketanji Brown Jackson is expected to be confirmed and to replace the retiring Stephen Breyer on the High Court. She'll become the first African-American woman to ever serve on the U.S. Supreme Court if she is confirmed. President Biden's approval rating is at an all-time low. A Reuters Ipsos poll shows just 40% of the country thinks the president is doing a good job.
It's felt like we're sitting through a bad haircut and just watching the haircut go downhill.
That is political pundit Jimmy Falia. High inflation and the war in Ukraine, the main reasons for the president's tanking approval rating, which has been on a steady decline since last August when the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan. Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright is being remembered following her passing. The first woman to serve as Secretary of State under former President Clinton was 84.
She did not like authoritarian governments. She didn't like dictators. She didn't like people who were callous about human life.
Bill Clinton says Madeleine Albright was a fierce defender of democracy. Midnight curfew takes effect tonight and will continue every night through the upcoming weekend in Miami Beach. It comes after a string of violent spring break incidents, including a shooting.
It's targeting young people that are here and acting in a way that they shouldn't. So it's obviously targeting behavior and nothing else.
That is Miami Beach Mayor Dan Gelber. We are coming up on 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report, a Thursday edition on Family Life.
Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, mom and author Beth Guckenberger, talking about spiritual warfare. When we first accept the saving grace offered by Christ, many of us may not be aware we also have a personal enemy. Would you tell us briefly about Satan and his schemes?
Absolutely. This enemy loves attention. So my desire in highlighting his activity isn't to give him any undue attention. I think that some of the things he likes to do is take advantage of sin I'm capable of doing just fine on my own and using it to make me believe wrong things about myself, to experience shame and collateral damage. He likes to use one poor choice, one bad word on my part, one area of weakness, and use it to impact multiple circumstances. And those are the kinds of activities and schemes of his that I certainly want to expose.
Beth, how can we be discerning in specific techniques to, as you say, throw the first punch against the enemy?
You know, I know Ephesians 6, that whole passage about putting on our spiritual armor, and I think that's important. And as you just referenced 1 Peter 5, the problem is sometimes when I show those two teachings together, I get the impression I'm supposed to stick on my armor and wait for the lion who's coming after me. And that makes me feel like I'm on spiritual defense. The truth of the matter is, he doesn't have any new tricks. If I already know what he's going to do, why does he get to go first? I actually want to just go out there and throw the first punch. I want to go out there and take him out before he has a chance to impact me and those that I love. 1 John 3 talks about the reason the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the devil's work. I don't want to just keep him from impacting us. I'd actually like to go proactively and aggressively destroy the work that he's trying to do. And that's the call on our lives. The techniques that we use to do that, we have certainly the power of prayer. We have the use of scripture. We have understanding what happens in worship. We even have tools like the role of confession, and the role of fellowship and the role of rest, so that I can collaborate with God to destroy the work that the enemy's trying to do around me.
Satan and his demons have some power, but God is still the all-powerful one who's limited the enemy's power.
Yeah, there's a bunch of really fun Old Testament stories that demonstrate the limitations that the enemy has on his power. There's a story in Exodus chapter 8 where during the Moses and Pharaoh let my people go story. And Pharaoh says to his magicians, hey, could you all come up with a plague as cool as the Israelite plagues? Because I'd like to show our people that our gods are as powerful as the God of Moses. And those magicians come back to Pharaoh and say, all of our power combined doesn't compare to the power that's found in the finger of their God. And in moments when I might feel overwhelmed with a spiritual battle I'm experiencing, you know, the enemy loves to come in by land, air, and sea. You know, he's attacking your mind, and he's attacking your body, and he's attacking your marriage, and he's attacking your ministry. He loves that overwhelming sense of attack. In that moment, I remind myself, the God that lives in me, the God with whom I belong, has more power in his finger than all of this attack combined, and I have access to that power. So when I can get my mind in that right place, then I begin to use the power and authority that God's given me to take back what the enemy's trying to steal.
Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit mm-hmm. dwells in each Christian. How can we be more effective in the daily battles that come our way?
You know, it's like breathing. When I can start to feel overwhelmed, and I don't, like, if I have a thought that I should not have authored, like it's a thought outside of the way that God wants me to be thinking, or I say something that I had no business saying, or I suddenly want something that's not mine to have, or I do something that I know is sinful, like any of that, then in that moment, the very best and first thing I can do is confess my sin. And the Bible tells us all over the place, he is faithful and just, he will forgive us of those sins, cleanse us from unrighteousness. That process of confession, it's like exhaling. I want that out of me. I want to divorce myself from that thinking, acting, doing, saying that's not in his will. And then the inhale is like, okay, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me. One of the Hebrew words that most people are familiar with is the Hebrew word for peace, which is shalom. The part of the definition I like the best is that shalom literally fills in the cracks. In the aftermath of confession, I can sometimes feel cracked open. I'm quite humbled by whatever I just confessed. I might even be facing some unintended earthly consequences for my sin. Like, there's cracks. And I think what the Holy Spirit brings is he's the peace that passes understanding. He's the Prince of Peace. He comes in, fills in those cracks, and now I'm all sealed up. Enemy can't get to me. I am ready to charge again. And I think the rhythm of communicating and breathing spiritually throughout the day, it strengthens us.
That's author Beth Guckenberger. I'm Tracy Lynn. Family Life News.
Thank you, guys. Faith Under Fire comes your way Thursdays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here's your Family Life regional weather forecast. The weather system that produced the downpours and thunder last night is pushing east of the area now. And somewhat drier weather has moved in. However, colder air is working in and some moisture will return. The result, not particularly pleasant weather expected for this first full weekend of spring. Here is the call for this afternoon, though. Clouds, breaks of sunshine, a couple of scattered showers, but a lot of dry time. Mild, high temps mid-50s to the mid-60s. Cloudy and turning chillier tonight through tomorrow with a bit of light rain and drizzle at times. There'll still be some breaks of sun, though, in Pennsylvania eastern sections. Temperatures overnight drop toward 40. We're in the 40s and low 50s for tomorrow. On Saturday, mainly cloudy. A couple of showers and flurries. High temps, mainly 40s. Blustery cold on Sunday with flurries and some local lake snow expected Sunday into Sunday night.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at noon. I found this one kind of interesting. Inside Vladimir Putin's $700 million mega yacht. The Russian ruler says it's not his, but several European authorities say it is. That yacht is said to be the world's most expensive yacht. It comes with two helicopter decks, a swimming pool with a retractable cover that converts to a dance floor. There's also a fully equipped gym and gold-plated fixtures in the bathroom.
Well, it's really disgusting. And I think the Russian people are looking at this and saying, well, how is it possible that he has this incredible, luxurious wealth and we can't make it paycheck to paycheck?
Maria Bartiromo with Fox Business says the $700 million mega yacht isn't just a toy. It's also a weapon.
This is just one of his boats, and I thought it was really interesting. This boat can also turn into a weapon because it can easily become a security for him, and it shoots. It also has an ability to shoot missiles from the yacht as well. So it's all in one for Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin has been called the richest man in the world because anytime a Russian oligarch makes money, he gets a piece of it. That is the world we live in this Thursday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.